Abner Doubleday has been credited for inventing baseball, even though he didn't do it. James Naismith came up with basketball, and now it might be time to add another name to the list of North American inventors who've created national pastimes. Detroit-based producer Zach Rosen has more.
Chris Hutt is a gregarious, humble, offensive lineman of a man. Around Detroit, he's the face of a new sport, a sport that has captured the imagination of all sorts of people, but mostly beer lovers.
We invented it as a circle of friends. So it always makes my skin crawl when someone says, "This guy invented fouling." No, we invented fouling.
Yes, fouling. F-O-W-L-I-N-G. Here's how it happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
Every year, Chris Hutt and a bunch of friends, including Skip Olsen and Laura Sullivan, go to the Indianapolis 500.
The one weekend a year that we all would get back together.
Outside turn four at Indy 500.
Hello again, everybody. And what the fans here at Indianapolis are about to experience can be summed up in two words: sensory overload.
There's just so many people. It's Memorial Day. It's spring. The track itself is so enormous. You can't even wrap your head around it. There's so many people. So we've been going 21 years. We have 15 RV spots. We park them around the edges of our spots to kind of circle the wagons to create a courtyard.
There is no scene in sport quite like this one.
And our neighbors are the same people every year from different states in Canada. So anyway, every year we'd have a project to try to impress our neighbors. We're Detroiters. We build things.
It's really just a bunch of guys hanging out, having a few beers, figuring out what they can do.
We built Plinko one year. You know, Price is Right Plinko. It was 13 feet tall. We built a scale model of the track, but the track was a moat with water and pumps. We had little rubber ducks, and we had like the Duck 500.
And we decided one year that we were going to do something a little bit different.
So we built a bowling lane, real bowling balls, real pins. And the first four practice bowls.
I'm going to say the third or fourth, maybe fifth row.
The ball went through the pins, through our backstop, and kept on trucking. Didn't even think about slowing down.
The balls kept going off the board, and we obviously didn't have a mechanical return set up.
We chased it for probably 600 yards, seemingly.
So that's not going to work. We like our neighbors, and a real bowling ball whizzing through your neighbor's camp at ankle level is not neighborly. Yeah, we left the platform set up with the pins on it, and a couple guys were playing catch, football. A pass wasn't caught. And the ball bounced on the ground, it went over to the lane, and knocked some pins down. We should throw the football with bowling pins.
That's how it started.
Pins are meant to be knocked down, and I've got an object in my hand that can knock them down. Little bravado, I bet I can knock them down faster than you can. By stroke of luck, accident, whatever you want to call it, fouling was born.
We had another case of pins with us. So we went and grabbed the other box, set them up on the other side, and just started throwing the football back and forth and kind of came up with the rules as we went along.
It's really simple. Imagine a bowling alley, but with 10 pins set up on both ends. The pins are arranged in a triangle, just like in bowling. There's a team on one end and a team on the other.
And you're throwing the football back and forth, trying to knock down your opponent's 10 pins before they knock down your 10 pins.
I do remember us sitting there going, "What would we call this?" And you literally would go, football, bowling. And honestly, it was like, fouling, football, bowling.
After the second year, we started fouling at parties and tailgates for the Lions and Tigers, or, take it to the beach. And everywhere we set it up, people are, it's like, we're the porch light and they're the moths. I mean, it's just like people just, what are you doing? And, we always invite everyone, come on in, this is how you play.
It's been almost 15 years since fouling was born. It's gone from a tailgate sensation to a new career for Chris Hutt. Last year, he quit his job as a brick salesman and opened a 34,000 square foot fouling warehouse.
It's a really cool old factory. Steel columns, steel beams, the sawtooth roof with all the skylights. OT, baby. I just describe it, it's like the size of a grocery store. And on the weekends, it's we'll have 600 people in here to fall on 20 lanes.
Look at that. Oh, that looked like a...
At the warehouse, on any given night, you'll meet the casual foalers, and you'll meet the maniacs. You can decide what Michelle Nowak and her husband Randy Stewart are.
Never gets boring. I can sit here and play it, and I have played it for like 14 hours straight.
Yeah, it's a bit of an addiction.
Yeah. So, if you had to guess, how many games have you played?
I got to be in probably five digits. Yeah,
no,
I got to be in the five digits,
way up
man.
There. I'm not quite the fooler as he is, but I.
Do you do it for him? Or?
No. Mm-mm, no.
She loves it herself.
Yeah, I do.
But a couple couples that fold together stay together.
Yeah, like couples that fold together stay together.
And have you found that to be true?
You know, we enjoy the game together. So.
Foaling's come a long way from the Indy 500, and Chris Hutt says he's just getting started.
It's just a joy, working for myself, hopefully making everybody in the room happy. It wasn't easy. It was hard. It was signing a five-year lease on a 34,000-square-foot industrial complex with no investors, no business plan. That was scary, but we've always had faith in the game.
So much faith that he's got plans to expand to a city or town near you. For Only a Game, I'm Zach Rosen in Detroit.